We're back at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, working our way through the Ten Commandments. And start it all out with Joshua 1:8. Had a couple folks this week said, all right, let us say it together. I think we got this by now.
Don't help us. Uh-huh. So here we go, Joshua 1:8. Where it says, this book of the law, here we go, ready? Here we go. This book shall depart, but thou shalt. Thou mayest observe to do. Thou shalt. I tried my best to remember that. I've done this before. I tried my best to remember that verse when I was in college, and I couldn't. I put it to music. This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what I had to well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You're a beautiful audience. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Let's take it. But look at our scripture here, Exodus chapter 22, if you will, verse number 16. Exodus 20, verse 16. I messed you up already, didn't I? Verse number 16, 2016. Look at it with me. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, of course, we start about learning the word of God to observe to do according to all that's written there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And I think was all some kind of big, dark secret of how to have a successful life. And that's not true. In fact, you say, well, these are kind of like the children's things. Yep. And we go right past this. And think, well, I've got to come up with some great, big, deep thing. No, we just need to take God's word for what it says, not play with it, not find loopholes, not try to dance around it, but take it for exactly for what it says. Well, no one really does it. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why we don't see it. A lot of folks say, well, you just got a charmed life. There is no charms. There's no luck. God blesses his people when they do what God has asked them to do. He just does. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have... Listen, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. See, that's the difference. We all have a lot of afflictions. If you don't have... Listen, some people say, well, I'm supposed to get saved, everything's supposed to be handy. Everything's supposed to be fine. I don't know what world you live on. I just don't know what world you live in. We all have problems. The godly shall suffer persecution. But God takes us through those things. He teaches us. We learn to trust him in these things. And we grow. We rise up in the arms of faith because we have been through the fire. I'm not a big sushi guy. I want my food to go through the fire to make sure it's all good and pure. Gets all that junk out of there. So let's pray. And we're going to talk about thou shalt not bear false witness. You might be surprised, but we're going to get into it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us that guaranteed formula for success. You told us that we need to live by your word. Not working our way to heaven, Lord, that's by grace. None of us, we're all come short of the glory of God. We break the law at one point, we've broken the whole law. We've long since passed that to be able to work our way to heaven. That's not going to happen. But Lord, we thank you for the grace that you give us, that you've extended toward us, that we can be saved by grace through faith in what Christ has done on the cross. Thank you so much for that. But Lord, you didn't come, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Lord, by being saved, become a new creation in Christ, you told old Nicodemus he need to be born from above, that unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. But yet, the Lord, you're not discounting the law. You're not discounting, because in fact you said if we're born of God and knoweth God will love, and love is the fulfillment really of all the law. But Lord, you do delineate it out so we can understand it. So Lord, I thank you for that. You don't just leave us and get us saved and leave us on our own. Now Lord, I pray that you speak to us here this morning. And Lord, I don't know what might be in the hearts, what might be in the past, might be in contemplated future of our folks here. But Lord, you know what you're doing, and we put it in your hands. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and I ask and encourage our folks, Lord, to open our hearts and let the Holy Spirit do his work. So Lord, we'll give you the glory for all that you do. We need you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 5:17. I'll just read it to you. But listen, these are the words of Christ out of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so." So it's okay. It's no problem. You don't worry about these commandments. Don't worry about that. Listen. "He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." He might be saved, but he's on the bottom of the barrel there. Listen, we can go into heaven yet so as by fire. He said, "Wheresoever there shall break one of these least commandments, shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, don't get excited. What he's saying is these scribes and Pharisees, they're not getting into heaven because of their works. You need to be born again. You need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he died for our sins. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's already paid for our sin. However, living between now and the time we go see him face to face, we behold his face. I got a ringing here for some. I'm not sure where it is. I got a ringing up here. Just back it up just a tad. Maybe just here. By the time we see him face to face, we have a life to live, and we can be successful and be prosperous in our life, or we can just simply live on the bottom of the barrel there. Now, remember, I've been instructing us on how to make our way prosperous and how to have good success. And the principles of the Ten Commandments are not only good because we will have a better relationship with others and cause ourselves less hurt, but the real blessing we want is God's hand of blessing on us. We are not going to have God's hand of blessing on us as we should if we're going to go against God's commands. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And often, doing what God commands makes little or no sense to us. And to do things God's way takes faith. Lying often seems like the quick and easy way out, the quick fix, and a no-brainer. It really does. However, in doing so, we are now moving away from God rather than toward him, and we are in essence saying that we trust our own sinful thinking more than God. Now, he says to do that, yeah, but I know, but this is a different circumstance here, God. He said, no, not a different circumstance. Are you alive? Are you still on the same earth that I created before and I made the laws for? Okay, that's all the same thing here. We cannot sin and still be living by faith, because we're doing it against what he said. We're saying, I don't have faith in your word, I have faith in my thoughts. We cannot lie and still be living by faith, at least not at that particular instant. Many people think that as long as they do not tell one of those bald-faced lies, that they're innocent of the sin of lying. Some folks think that lying is okay as long as you don't get caught. Don't hurt somebody's feelings. Lying probably catches all of us from some time or another. Some may say, I've been playing with the truth for years and I'm still doing okay. Well, the fact is, God doesn't just throw us away on one little mistake. He doesn't. I'm thankful for that. I mean, if he threw us away the first time we sinned, it wouldn't be any of us left. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, Jesus speaking, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Just because God hasn't slapped you dead yet doesn't mean he's happy with what you're doing. 2 Peter 3:8 says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He may be just holding back just because he wants you to come to repentance. On the other hand, we do not know when God's grace will be over. I know his grace is sufficient, but listen, our day is coming. It's appointed to man once to die, and after that, to judgment. Don't push him. Don't push the schedule. Proverbs 29:1 said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He's not going to let us get away with it forever. Truth seems to be a rare commodity these days. That shouldn't be the way it is with God's people. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one statement, but I do want to say this. To understand lying, you kind of have to realize there is such thing as truth. Okay? There is a truth. There is absolute truth. Lord has given us these absolute truth. 2 + 2 = 4. The wage of sin is death. And the only way around that is by the mercy of God. That's truth. You can't change truth. By the way, you were born a male or a female? Truth. There's truth. So lying is playing with truth. And if you want to see God's blessing, you know, God's not in on lying. He's in on truth. Jesus is the way, the truth. God is truth. We got to deal with truth. First, I want us to do here, and look at the verse in Exodus 20:16 with me, and just kind of get a definition here. Then we're going to kind of expand on this and kind of do some applying this to our life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I read this years ago, I kind of thought it meant thou shalt not bear false witness. Means you're not going to bring false witness to somebody. You're not going to push it on them. You're not going to lie to them. That's not really quite what that says. The word bear there means to heed, to pay attention, to respond to. To sing it out and testify and announce it to everybody else. It's saying, thou shalt not put up with somebody who's witnessing falsely against your neighbor. If that's the case, then that means I shouldn't put up with me giving a false witness, but I'm not going to put up with somebody else giving false witness either. In other words, God hates lying. And if we're with him, we ought to hate lying. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go around and poke my little bony, well, my fingers never were bony, but poke my finger into somebody's nose and tell you all this all the time. But on the other hand, I shouldn't put up with it. If someone's going to come along and they're giving kind of a slanderous statement about somebody, this and that, you always say, you know what, excuse me, and walk away. I don't need to hear it. We don't need to hear somebody slander, some talebearer, gossip. Don't put up with it. Not only that, wrong business, cheating, lie. It's a lie. Don't put up with it. Not going to have it. Not going to have a part. He says, don't bear false. That means untruth, a sham, deceit, feigning to be something that we're not, to cheat. And the witness means a testimony, a record, to repeat or protest. He says, I'm not going to put up. I'm not going to heed. I'm not going to pay attention to untruth. And I'm not going to put it out there, but I'm not going to pay attention to it. This commandment is more than just us not lying. It's where do you stand on truth? That's part of our whole society. We have taken truth and made it optional. We've made it variable. It depends on where you feel today, how you feel today. What do you do here? There was an article in the newspaper in the viewpoint section about where a writer talks. It was making fun again of it came up because of the new education secretary and they were bringing up this thing about intelligent design down here in the Dover School District, and he said, I don't understand why these people still think that there was intelligent designer. I mean, the Supreme Court, the court system already decided that it's false. Well, la-di-da. The court system now knows truth. See, that's the difference. That's something else going on in our country. We have what we call statutory law rather than what they used to call common law. You go back to Blackbee's law books, it was based, in fact, if I remember right, Charles Finney, a great evangelist, got saved studying for the bar exam because he was reading the books on law, and the books on the law came right out of the book of the law right here. And it was just common sense. But now they said, well, we decide that's not true, so now truth is now this. That's a lie. We shouldn't put up with it. We are to put all our stock in truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Truth is not for sale. Truth is still truth, and you shouldn't be for sale. The Lord deals only in truth, and so if you are not dealing in truth, you're not dealing with the Lord. We're not to be willing to put up with anything but the truth. We should not tell a lie, and we should not perpetuate anything that's not the truth. We should not bear or put up with any falsehood or implication that's not true to be perpetuated by us or anyone else. Not supposed to bear, put up with false witness. Number two, I kind of said this statement already. Truth is not optional. Do you realize God sees everything we do? Do we really believe that? Do you live in the fear of God? He sees, he hears, he knows. He's God. He's everywhere. He made the ear, does he not hear? He made the eye, can he not see? He knoweth the heart. The heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all. But God knows the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, you go back and look at it. Truth is not optional. If you want a good relationship with God, lying is not one of the options. Well, you know what we're more worried about right now? Time, you know, this is easy right now. I'll just tell them this. Well, let me say this. A lot of times we tell a lie because we've been doing a lot of other stuff we shouldn't have been doing, and we don't want to admit to it. So if you want to stop telling lies, a good thing is to stop doing all this other stuff. Just stop it. Confess it, forsake it, God will cleanse us. Clean us up, and start mercies anew every morning. That can change today. Well, I can't change today. You just don't know who I am, what I have to deal with. There's no temptation that has taken you except that which is common to man. It's common stuff. You ought to deal with it. You can make a decision. Psalm 15:1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth, slander, talebearer, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He said, who gets to really feel the presence of God? Those who live uprightly. Do you want to sell? Are you willing to sell that? Some folks are willing to sell their relationship with God to try to get out of a temporary fix, temporary problem. We need to determine to walk in truth. Proverbs 8:7 says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. And how we use our tongue in truth and deceit, in truth or deceit, is a witness of what we are. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. I don't want to sell my relationship with God just to try to get out of a little bit of a problem, which, by the way, you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie, you got to tell another lie, you got to tell a lie. I don't, be honest with you, this is going to sound terrible. I don't tell lies because I don't have a good enough memory for that stuff. Now, I don't tell now because I want a relationship with God, but years ago, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to tell a lie because I'll be in bigger trouble. You know what, it's just common sense. I mean, it's common sense. Duh! You are not going to be able to follow this thought thing all the way through. You're going to get caught. And then what? Everybody knows you're a liar. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches. Silver and gold. You lie. Now what does your wife think? This time you're innocent, but she doesn't believe you. Let me give you number three. I'm going to give a lot of scripture for you. Just hang tight. Just what? Because I there's so many things you could. You know, I went back in the Bible, started looking. Man, it's just all over. I mean, it's this and this and this and this and this. You can't hardly tell everything that the word talks about lying. Number three, speaking truth is not always easy. Speaking truth is not always easy. Galatians 4:16. Am I there become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, that's right out of a story because Paul was saying to the Galatians, y'all are getting mad at me because I've been telling you the truth. Now, if your wife says, does this make me look fat? You're always beautiful to me, babe. Hey, you're supposed to have a few curves. You're supposed to have some curves, you know? Not supposed to be a guy, I didn't marry a guy, you know? I understand that. But listen, you also don't run around and say, well, I'm just telling the truth, just making sure everybody knows the truth according to you. Dr. Smith, Shelton Smith, who was a pastor of Church of Open Door in Westminster years ago, he kind of my father in the Lord, and he says, you know, always tell the truth, but you don't have to tell everything you know. Always tell the truth, but you don't have to tell everything you know. Number four, speak the truth nonetheless. Speaking truth is not always easy, number three, but speak the truth nonetheless. I'd rather have you mad at me and have told you the truth and be clean from the blood of your hand, of your blood on my hands, or having instructed you right, and be able to stand before God and not have you say, no, why didn't you tell me? But there again, well, wait a minute. Ephesians 4:11 says this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We had a lady years ago come into the, I was a choir director down there in Open Door, and 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, we had an early service in the morning. We called it early mass, and just amongst the folks. But we had an 8:30 service, and we'd come in about 8 o'clock, and the choir would come in. And one morning, this lady came into the choir room, we're getting ready to go. And I don't, you know, I let's just say the end of her skirt was actually right about here. And she walked into the room, and, you know, I didn't want to say a word to her. I didn't want to embarrass her. The whole back door was open. It just wasn't good. And so I asked one of the ladies, I said, would you go over, tell her, you know. Now, you know what would have been the worst thing to do? Hey, Mary, your back door's open. Yeah, I don't want to do that. But we can speak the truth in love. Listen, there's been times I've had folks, I've done it here. I've had some people say, you shouldn't apologize for what you're preaching. I'm not apologizing for what I'm preaching. I'm apologizing if I hurt your feelings while I was preaching. Because I want you to know I'm speaking the truth. I'm doing my best to speak the truth in love. I want you to know truth. Even for a selfish reason, I'm not going to stand before God and say, you didn't tell him. You speak truth in love. All the law and the prophets rest on love the Lord thy God supremely with all your heart and mind, your soul, strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know what? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Because truth is where the victory is. If we love others, not only will we not lie ourselves, but we will not bear someone lying about them. If we're truly saved and seeking to get rid of sin, we will deal only in truth. There are folks who come to this church because I'm the pastor and I say what it is. There are people who don't come to this church because I'm the pastor and tell it like it is. That's the honest to goodness truth. But he did not say, go you know all the world and fill up church buildings. Preach the good news. Well, that's the gospel. Do you know what good news is? Being free of sin, not only for eternity, but enduring life too. Listen, if this book of law is in my mouth and I'm observing to do it and I'm making my way prosperous and I'm having good success, that's good news too. There's good news in Christ, whether it's here or there, but there's good news and we've got to stand, but we've got to deal in truth. Ephesians 4:17 says, it goes on and says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So the world has that. They don't know. They're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't know any better. And they're past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old way of life, the old man, the one who used to lie every up and down, whatever happened, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, Ephesians 4:25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I've been around people that are so used to lying, sometimes they just lie because
The truth wouldn't have gotten them into trouble, but they just go ahead and lie anyway. It's the weirdest thing. They're just like, they're so, it's just because part of who they are. God can forgive you for that and change who you are. Number five, statement is just kind of another thought. It is amazing how many Christians are willing to stray from the truth. It is amazing how many Christians are willing to stray from the truth. When we are willing to stray from the truth, something is more important to us than standing for God. They lie to spouses, to children, to their parents, to their friends, to their pastor, to God, and even lie to themselves with their deceitful lusts. Well, it'll be all right. They talk themselves into it. They'll shade the truth a little this way or a little that way. Proverbs 6:12 says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eye. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. God is only going to let you go around, especially as a Christian, and dirty his name for so long. And he's going to say, okay, you're doing more damage than you're doing good down here. I've given your chance. Come on home. Now, you get to go home to heaven. Can you imagine walking in the door and seeing Jesus and going, come on in, son. Come on in. Yeah. All right, come on in. Love you. But just had to bring you home. I'm a junior, Sterling Walsh Jr. Everybody in town knew Sterling Walsh. Actually, that was good for me because all I had to do was say I'm Sterling Walsh. Oh, you're Sterling. Well, yeah, he couldn't deny you. We do. We look just like, we all have these round shoulders and walk with our head in front of our feet, and just that's just who we are. We talk alike. We sound alike. There was three of us living in one house for one time. My father, myself, and my son. And if you picked up the phone, and you didn't know which one was talking to you. We all sound alike. It's just amazing. Sometimes we all be downstairs or something talking, and you can't tell which one's which. We're just so much alike, and we're like our father, and we should be like our father. We can drag our father's name through the mud. And after a while, he said, "You know what? We're done." And be something as simple as simply a testimony of whether you're truthful or not. I believe it. Give you another statement. We are not going to get away with lying. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. 21:28 says, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. In other words, don't go around talking a bunch of things. Just listen. As a matter of fact, sometimes we say more by just listening than we try to tell everybody what we think they ought to know, even as a bunch of horse hockey. You know, it's just a bunch of stuff. Now, I just this is kind of laborious here, but the problem is we don't know these things. I'm trying not to drag it on any longer. So I'm going to just give you a list of a few things that I'm calling different types of liars. Different types of liars. First one. Let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. Matthew 5:33, Jesus said, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, not your throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let thought your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than these cometh of evil. You know what I found? The people who protest and tries to convince you, oh, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to do it. They're usually the folks that you got to watch out for, because they're not going to show up. That's amazing. You know what? You just do. You just be, and your testimony will follow. I know Curtis Hudson was funny. He used to say, well, he used to be selling the sword books and stuff, and he talked to himself. Some folks have a problem because I toot my own horn. But it says, the Bible says, it says, my Bible says that he that tooteth not his own horn, his horn shall forever remain in a state of untutoredness. And he says, I know it's in the Bible because I wrote it there myself. And just being funny. But we spend all this time trying to convince everybody that we're all something. You don't have to convince anybody anything. You be faithful, true, work hard, work faithfully, don't complain, just do what you're supposed to do. If you have no intention of doing something, then don't agree to it. To agree to it is a lie. Your yea should be yea and your nay should be nay. Listen, it used to be if the guy said he's a Christian, well, you almost hire him on the spot. It's getting so now that people call themselves Christian and they're trying to get in on something, claim something that they're not, and people are almost scared. Years ago, when I became the music director down at Open Door, I had a budget. It was pretty cool. I was going to work on a budget, and I wanted to buy some music, and I said, can you just put that on the bill and send us a bill? It worked better with our accounting department, and you put on the bill, and we'll be fine. I said, I can't do that. You ever bought anything here before? I said, no. Well, I can't do that. Why not? Because churches are notorious for not paying their bills. Notorious. And you know what? That was the first time I ran into it. I couldn't believe it. They're known for not paying their bills. Now, when we came here, to be honest with you, we weren't bringing enough money to pay the mortgage. Someone had given us some money, and so we were able to do it. We weren't bringing enough per week to keep things going. And I said, well, okay, here's the deal. I said, we want our church to be known for paying its bills. I don't want to say, that's one of those churches. It takes them 3 months by the time they go through this meeting and that meeting and that meeting. They got okay, and they got to vote whether we're going to pay the electric bill. Come on, it's just, you got to pay the electric bill. I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, if you pay all the bills, and if there's anything left at the end of the month, you pay me. If there's nothing left at the end of the month, you don't pay me that month. Because it's a whole lot better deal if we're known for paying our bills and being honest. I'll tell you what, sometimes that's a better testimony than going around and trying to push a bunch of tracts. Now, we ought to be giving out tracts and inviting folks to Christ, but the fact is, if we don't pay our bills, they don't care what we think we're giving out. If that's what religion is, they don't want anything to do with it. All you think is some kind of hot thing, you're filling up your building, but you don't pay your bills. Well, we might as well close up shop because God's not getting any glory out of that. Your nay should be nay, your yea should be yea. If you're not going to make a concerted effort to keep your word, you're lying. Leviticus 19:11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In other words, don't say, oh, as God's my witness, this is what I'm going to do. And then you don't do it. In other words, you don't care whether he's your witness. You don't fear God. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. In other words, say one thing and do another. Neither rob him. The wage of him that is hired shalt thou not abide with thee all night into the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. And ye shall do no unrighteous in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor. When he says don't respect, it means don't disrespect. Really, I won't forget that. But anyway, so you know what you're saying. But thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. In other words, don't witness against someone casually because it could really damage that person because they could have been killed. I know a circumstance where some people said some things about a person and embellished them, I know, and caused that person to end up in jail. And they're all claimed to be Christians. I know the circumstances. God's not going to hold them innocent. Lying hurts others. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a sword, a sharp arrow. We're just beating up on people. Let me give you another one. Talebearer. Oh, this is an easy one. Everybody likes to be important, have something to say. Talebearer. It's not good to go around telling stories about others.
Well, I'm not a gossip. It's the people I tell things to that gossip.
Listen, we don't have to tell everything we know. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, the fact is, now wait a minute, I would say this. I know stuff about a lot of y'all. Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say, if I knew everything about you, I wouldn't bother preaching to you. But he said, if you knew everything about me, that you probably wouldn't bother to listen to me. I don't need to air everybody's dirty laundry. And none of us do. Be careful that prayer requests don't become gossip.
Oh, you pray for so-and-so. Did you hear what they...
I had a preacher's wife one time. We happened to show up the same function. And she literally almost jumped out of her seat to tell me about a church that was falling apart. And she even had a smile on her face. Did you hear so-and-so? No, that's terrible. A talebearer. We can destroy people with a few well-placed words. And that simply imply something other than the truth. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And don't run around with talebearers because they will eventually hurt you as well. 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Makes you feel larger than life. Keep yourself busy doing good and serving the Lord. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 5. Listen to this. I'm just it's real quiet here, but I want you to listen to this. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. In other words, if she's 60 years old and she can still work and so forth, then don't be paying her way through life here. Let her, you know, still work. It says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. You know what? If you've got time to talk about everybody else, you got time to do something else. You could be serving the Lord, doing something with your time. That goes for men as well as ladies. Let me give another one, false accusers. False accusers. There are several names for Lucifer. That's the light. The word devil means accuser. Accuser. Only follow a righteous cause, and only if you know it is for sure. Don't be accusers. Exodus 23 says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause, decline after many to wrest judgment. Many Christians have perpetuated urban legends. You know these things? Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Don't allow pride and prestige or possessions to cause you to bend the truth. He says, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For if I will not justify the wicked, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Don't let something allow you to shade the truth.
To falsely accuse someone of a crime is just as bad as having committed the crime itself. Deuteronomy 19:16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. Behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him, the false witness, as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. You accuse them of doing something like that, and it's not true, you get the penalty that you were accusing him of. God hates false accusers. These six things of the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Lying is all over that mess. All over it. We need to be careful to not come to be among those that cause perilous times. You know the 2 Timothy 3 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times are come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. You need to keep our testimony clean. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Remember that old movie? Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheap, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Remember that old movie and the Music Man? Oh, we got to be careful. All right. We're just about done here. You go back. We can't say it all. The tongue. Watch. Flattering. All right, here's one. And now studies have shown that it wasn't a wise thing to do. Your kids, if you were a Walsh, chances are you were not good in sports. Don't tell me that I am when I'm not. Because we've raised a generation that we've tried to encourage, and there's nothing wrong with encouraging what they actually did. There's nothing wrong with encouraging them to work a little harder. By the way, we are to work for excellence, not perfection. We'll never reach perfection. But we have taught our kids, we have flattered our kids into thinking they're something that they're not. Now, don't browbeat them and beat them. Be honest. Be honest. Don't discourage them, but don't put something in behind them. That's flattery. It's lying. And you know what the Bible says? A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And you're setting up, sometimes unintentionally, we set up our kids for a bad fall. I talked about this other week. You're lying in business. It's not, saith the buyer, when he's gone his way, then he boasts that he got a good deal. That's lying. It's wise not to even pretend to deceive. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, Am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there is the fire go without, and where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As goals are to burning coals, the wood to fire, as a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like potsherd covered with silver dross. We've all heard folks who can lie and then you catch them. Oh, I was just teasing. You know what you just taught them when you do that? That you're a good liar. You've taught them you're a good liar. Well, I don't think that's done you any good or anybody else any good. There are scores of verses in the Bible on lying, and we can't cover them all. Jesus is truth. God is truth. A lie is only a temporary fix that leads to eternal damage.
Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. One last thing. Here's how God ranks lying. I use this every time, almost every time when I lead somebody to Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You say, well, you know, am I really that bad? Why can't I go into heaven? Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27 of that chapter says, and there shall no wise enter into heaven, into God's presence, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And lying probably catches us all. Stop it. Stop it. Tell the truth in love, and you'll see, as time goes by, you'll get a whole lot further along than if you're playing with lies. Don't put up with it. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. A little tough this morning. Kind of a little tedious. Yet, Lord, we need to get down, just really realize lying in whatever form it comes is still lying. It still goes against your word. It's still not coming by faith. It's living by sight, temporary sight. And it's just plain sin. Lord, help us to rise up. Help us have a good testimony. May our name be good so that your name is good. May we speak truth in love so we can be real with one another, open, and trust one another. Help us be different than the rest of the world. It's not just good business, it's bad business. Help us to trust in your word or speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed.